Okay, everybody, I'm back here with another episode. This will be episode 3 of the Self-Help Center podcast, otherwise known to you as Romeus T. That's because my name's Romeus T, and I'm your host with the creepy voice. If you're curious and a new-time subscriber to the Self-Help Center podcast, and you're wondering, why does he say that he's the host with the creepy voice? Well, for one, I think I have a kind of creepy voice, but I never really considered it myself. It was actually my internet girlfriend that first brought that up. We met because she loved my blog and commented and talked to me and things like that. And so I was like, oh, you know, you've got to listen to my podcast. You'll fucking love it. And then, of course, she did. And that's when she decided that I had a creepy voice, and she was like, oh, no, I can't listen to your podcast. You have, like, a really creepy voice, and it's really gross, and I can't even listen to it. So that's the whole story behind that. This would be, Bud Ice 5.5, be like 7, I believe. And we're doing, May Part 2. This is, let's go straight away, as they say. To Wednesday, May 19th, 2010. And, this is, I should have put a ring on it. This video is no longer available. Oh my god, so I clicked on something I thought I had on there and it's no longer available due to some asshole taking off that video. Well, I'm sure you've all seen the latest video making headlines around the world. It features a group of 7-year-olds dancing to a routine they call All the Single Ladies. Some say that dance routine is pretty out there, though it does validate my idea that I should buy a van and get a personal license plate that says, I lost my puppy, because nobody will care. I'll get away with it as long as I can suggest to the public that what I'm doing is some kind of art display and that the kids have a good time in the back of my van, playing with all the masking tape and making construction paper dogs while we drive around looking for their lost puppies. What, man? I don't understand how any of you can still get upset about social problems when you've got 7-year-olds being nasty, but cheered on by their pedophilic parents. But I guess white people are a lost cause. What about the Mexicans? A reader of mine asked me to share my thoughts about the whole anti-immigration stance Arizona's government's taken recently. I bet he thought I was about as upset about the craziness as he was. But frankly, I was just surprised by his question. Arizona has been anti-immigration for so long that the latest craziness is just lumped together with all the other shit Sheriff Joe does, like his raids on public libraries and the constant rat-tat-tat of the right-wing machine gun in this state. What you brown-skinned sympathizers need to know, so as not to worry, is that the right wing is fighting back only because the brown people are slowly winning over this state. And that inevitable victory is what gets the white people living here so antsy. None of this will matter soon because all the white people will just move to Utah anyway. I just hope I haven't alienated enough the white race, that they start to consider me brown too when they begin their slash and burn retreat to Utah. I have no idea what white people plan to do after they surrender Arizona, but I'm guessing it involves thousands of pounds of fertilizer. I guess that because, as a white man in Arizona, under the latest law, I'm required to keep a few hundred pounds of fertilizer in a storage facility. The government pays for everything, so I don't really mind. And the only people who seem to mind the new law in Arizona are the Mexicans. They show up a few hundred or a few thousand strong at marches and demonstrations, but they're just pissed that Abuelita might get tossed back to the dirt floors of her pueblo, her bare feet scratching on the floor. Nobody cares otherwise. People make jokes to their Mexican friends about taking their ID with them, but no one I know yet has really been hassled. Though you will see the occasional alarmist pretend that he's got pulled over and asked for ID. But since the law has yet to be put in effect, I'm sure those people telling stories about driving while brown are just looking for attention and sympathy from the six liberals that live in this state. And frankly, it's kind of overwhelming at this point, so can you please just wait for the law to go in effect before you start to complain to me? Also, you need to be placed in jail before I'm going to get upset. Don't expect any sympathy from me when Nana gets sent back across the border. She was never legal, and I have no idea how she qualified for food stamps when my broke ass, making $14,000 a year, never did. You may want me to sympathize with your plight and join in your marches because she's been in England or been in the USA for 50 years, but she still speaks broken English, though she does make awesome tortillas. Thank you, Nana. But the thing is, I don't even protest against the shit that affects me. Why am I going to stand up for you, Jew boy? Unlike the liberal outsiders, I'm not going to worry about proposed bills for the Arizona legislature. Heck, every year some idiot proposes some new law, like the guy who thought it was a good idea to allow people to take guns into bars and clubs. You know, to curb drunken violence. I'm sure that law worked. I hardly ever get shot at now when I go out drinking because all the gangsters now think the rednecks are carrying concealed weapons, too. One more victory for white America. But like I said, we all know that this is the end game here. The Mexicans may have lost the shooting war, but they're way prepared better than the white man for the population war. The Mexicans will continue to breed like the good little Catholics they are, who've never heard of Trojan Commons, and the only hope white people have of maintaining their customs is to marry some of the lighter-skinned Mexican girls who feel dirty when they get in bed with a dark-skinned Latino. The truth being that Mexican women love white men more than any other race, and this is the fact that I can speak to personally. My store location is 40% or more Mexican, and I get looked up and down by the middle-aged Mexican women there the way they look at, well, let's not worry about the way they start looking at me. Just know that these girls can't get enough of me, and I have to beat them off with a stick. So don't worry, white man. Sheriff Joe is just not going to arrest you. And most likely, that law won't pass muster, and the Supreme Court will not allow Tempe cops to arrest Nana. She'll continue to be able to sell her tortillas outside the grocery store, and maybe some of her cute nieces won't even get fat if you inculcate that snobby white girl attitude into her that you love so much. And while that means they won't cook or clean for you, it does mean that they will be a little dirtier in bed than your white ex-wife. Because we all know immigrants bring their loose morality and their indigenous promiscuity to the bedroom. Just pray you don't get that Aztec STD, as I hear it takes a blood sacrifice to get rid of that one. And I hear the blood sacrifice involves 7-year-olds in a strange fertility dance routine. What I'm saying here is that there's no reason to panic about the race wars. Just go back to playing the Atari 2600, or if your parents were lucky, you got the 5200, play with that. That's what I'm gonna do. That is, until I'm outnumbered and outgunned. Then I unlock the storage facility and hop on that bus to Utah, where we have a decent pro basketball team, even if we do have a few more black people than necessary on that team. Best thing ever about the Mexican takeover. The 7-year-old dance troupe video will be on primetime TV, and all the grandmothers will gush about how cute it is. I'm thinking the Governor Terminator ought to just let Arizona be the land of the pedophiles. He don't need that whole island thing where the culture is taking over already. When the culture that's taking over already sexualizes their children to the point that most hebephiles get uncomfortable. Okay, so part two of part two, mate, is when I get my hands around your throat, it will be a good thing. All I need to do is feel the life come out of you, one breath at a time. If I could only get to you fuckers when all my shit is fresh, then you would be eating out of my hands. I wouldn't feed you much. I like you better when you're thin and hungry. I have a lot of work to do this weekend. I have to file an answer to a wage garnishment. I have to get a haircut, I have to buy one of those 2.5mm to 3.5mm headphone adapters so I can listen to VCast videos on the NV3 when I get the bus home. When I ride the bus home. I have to write my long-term review of the NV3 and send it to phonedog.com as part of the plan to get a gig writing reviews. I was going to incorporate two of my latest rants into the review of the cell phone, but both are so long and so long forgotten that I can't remember that all I can remember is a tweet from one of them. It went something like, "Dear middle class, you have been abandoned by all the political, economic, and cultural institutions of America. Please understand this. The middle class is not. The rich have won the class war. Now it's time to blow this shit up and start all over again." That is the tell and not the show of it, because I can't remember the show of it anymore, so you'll just have to deal with the lame, crappy, overhanded tell. Again, just deal with it, people. But that whole idea got me thinking and getting pissed off at lawyers, and I had a big-ass rant about how they don't know anything. They just know how to look stuff up. It's true. Ask a lawyer anything, and all you'll ever get as a response is, "It's complicated, but..." The simpler the question you ask a lawyer, the more the lawyer will look at you like your dog does when you try and explain to him quantum physics. That's because lawyers don't know anything. Unlike, say, a doctor. Ask a doctor a fucking easy question and he gives you a fucking answer. Ask a doctor a difficult question and she will start telling you some shit that you can't even follow when she condescends the conversation down to your level. Doctors are pretty smart. I bet most doctors are smarter than me. But that's not the case with lawyers. I'm probably smart enough to be a lawyer. That should make you worry. All you need to do to be able to be a lawyer is to be able to look shit up. It took me 5 minutes on the internet to find out how to answer a wage garnishment and find a way to make around $200 of my income a week exempt. I'm sure some lawyer would have charged me $2,000 for that, which would have made the whole thing a push and sent money from the working class to a member of the moneyed elite, rather than one of the evil institutions of financial power. Either way, working people all fucking lose there. All that got me thinking about all you posers out there with your fucking rockabilly outfits and your fucking scarves and your leather pants and all the fucking winter hats you wear in the fucking summer, and I began to want to puke on myself from the fucking retarded nature of your shit. None of you are fucking rebels. None of you want anything other than to be nostalgic for the immediate past. You want a biographer so that you can pretend that everything you do has some kind of quasi-importance. That's why you Twitter yourselves every 3 seconds. You Facebook. You take fucking pictures till the albums come out of your fucking ass. None of you want to change anything. None of you want to risk anything. You are all perfectly happy chasing alternative versions of the American dream that some marketing asshole has thought up, while chewing on Creighton and wearing a $134 t-shirt and rocking one of those obnoxious trucker hats. He's fucking laughing at you all the way to the bank, and you've traded away real security for access to cheaply made commodities. Well, at least you lowered your expectations to getting things like the coolest cell phone and the nicest pair of shoes, because that's all you'll be getting. You're going to lose your homes, you're going to lose your retirements, you're going to lose your medical care, you're going to watch as we repeat the mistakes of the 60s and the 70s. You're going to watch how we never stopped the war. Fucking hippies. They think they stopped a war. What? 20 years too late? After we had committed genocide and determined that only a full-scale nuke attack would prevent the Yellow Man from attacking us? Then you see all those generals getting sick of the war. Suddenly they don't have the stomach to fucking wipe a race out. Now they want to leave, and all you fuckers getting mellowed out on the Quaaludes thought you had something to do with it. Well, whatever. Just like the fucking emo crop of losers we have now who sit back and let the voluntary army kill as many Muslims as we can. We're no fucking different. We're a bunch of fucking losers. We collectively, that is, not you. You're a fucking winner. I saw you at the fucking peace rally. Like I give a shit. This society is beyond repair. What What the fuck? Go out and fend for yourself. Just don't stop at trinkets. Go get yourself something. Go on a real bender. We've got nothing to lose anymore. This is not even a society anymore. This is a moral decadence that even the Nazis could be ashamed of. Our moral decay would silence the crowd at a Roman vomitorium. Make us proud, Daddy. And go choke on your puke. Okay, folks, so one more blog, which is from Wednesday, May 12th. And it's one that I've referenced in several other blog posts up to this point. And it's the, I never killed 40 innocent Asians, so I guess I ain't never done nothing deserve to fucking be an American. This all stems from me going into the tailgate bar, where some asshole who apparently went to, through 5 tours of Vietnam, which I find highly doubtful. But it's possible. I don't fucking know shit. And basically, this fucker says that I don't deserve to be an American because I ain't killed fucking brown people, or at least enough brown people. I mean, he doesn't know how many brown people I killed. Maybe I've run into people. I drink a lot. I black out. Who knows what the fuck happens. But and I should mention that my mother has this exact same point of view. As sad as that is. That was the butt ice not going down good, folks. Whew. After about 9 of those, it just doesn't work. Okay, so here's Wednesday, May 12th. I never killed 40 innocent Asians, so I guess I ain't never done none. Alright, you know the word. You can hear that, probably. That was actually somebody sending me an email. I'm sure none of you motherfuckers have sent me an email. You can at romiustexas@yahoo.com. R-O-M-I-U-S-T-E-X-A-S-I-S, that is, at yahoo.com. 623-239-0852 is the voicemail. You can leave a voicemail, and I'll play it on the podcast. And that would break up some of the crap of having to listen to just me. By not knowing me in real life, you've missed out on the best night ever. You're just fucking blog readers, so you have no idea how great it is to be my friend. I can't even describe to you what last night was like, but it was awesome. I was in rare fucking form tonight. I pissed off a fucking 5-tour Vietnam veteran at the tailgate bar. I was going off on how the ruling class is stealing all your motherfucking money. I must have pissed him off because then this motherfucker asked me the most bullshit question ever. He's like, "What the fuck have you ever done to deserve to be a fucking American?" Now I should point out how I was already in a fucking shithole of a fucking mood. I opened my mail earlier in the day to discover yet another fucking wage assignment against my paycheck. My third, more than 25% of my salary, which is against the federal law. Not that fucking knowing any fucking lawyers as friends has helped my fucking ass here. So I'm pissed that the worst of America is fucking going against me already, and I'm ready to take on all the comers who have something to fucking say for this shit forsaking bullshit crap ass country of ours. Or forsaken bullshit. Now, is there any of my blog friends who want to hang with me when I'm going off on a 16-year-old or 60-year-old 5-tour fucking Vietnam veteran for saving our country from them evil comms? I fucking doubt it. It's fucking uncomfortable to tell off a man for killing people after he tells you that he's killed no less than 40 fucking Viet Cong to serve his country. You have to call this man a fucking murderer. Have you ever called someone a murderer? They don't take it fucking lightly, and this murderous asshole was no exception. Tonight's going to be fucking epic, I told Leaf. I know that thought was just like the thought out of a character from a Chuck Klosterman novel, and the truth is it fucking was. Now, I know I won't be able to fucking transpose the shit that went down like Chuck would. If you feel like you have to confirm what I'm telling you, just ask Crystal. She listened to maybe 10 minutes of my epic going off, and she was not one of the recipients of my verbal blasts. She was just a lucky bitch that got to listen to me go off on others. I was saying shit like, look, none of these people know anything. The mere fact that they're here proves to me that they don't know anything. Because anyone who knew anything would not be here, I yelled into the cell phone at Crystal. I'm not screaming this so much as I am telling it at the top of my voice. What I'm doing is talking as loud as I can without seeming like I'm screaming. I'm doing this because the MBA bartender behind the bar is staring at me again, like she can't quite figure me out. She worries about me like I'm some kind of freak, like my idea of fun is dipping my genitals in peanut butter and heading off to the local pound. But I'm not just some kind of fucking Chuck Klosterman archetype. So while I think that the whole idea of a 66-year-old forgetting her responsibilities and dipping her genitals in peanut butter and getting it on at the local pound is hot, it's not exactly my idea of fun, if you can catch the fucking David Foster Wallace illusion there. Weird thing about Chuck Klosterman, his arms are fucking weirdly old-looking. I saw a picture of him on the internet, and he was wearing a blue sweater with an untucked dress shirt. It was just like he was... described it was just like he was he described one of the characters in his work. Ugh. I'm not gonna even edit that shit out, so fuck you. The only thing is that he never discussed how he or the character had arms, and I'm speaking here specifically of forearms that were excessively old for his age, like forearms that were 40 or 45 on a 34-year-old. Here's my problem. Imagine you were my friend and we're at a Chinese buffet for lunch. This has nothing to do with how Chuck loves Chinese buffets. Really, it's just a weird coincidence. Hold on for a second, I'm gonna take a beer. You don't really think I can go that long without taking a drink. Okay, back to the story. I don't want to be at lunch with you because the last time we talked you mentioned how I'm not such a great friend, and then you mentioned how much of a loser I am and how you never asked much from me as a friend, but whenever you did ask for even small favors from me, I never seemed to be able to answer the call. I won't dignify all that with a response, but I will tell you how last night I mentioned that if I ran into one of the cats that ran the fucking world, I would break one of the marble statues that they own over their fucking heads. I think I repeated that several times. Each time I said it louder, because the easiest way to create drama is to fucking repeat shit slowly and louder. Look, I tell you, I don't think you want to be fucking fuck with me today. I went head to fucking toe with a 5-tour Vietnam veteran about how I deserved to be a fucking American more than he did. Like I told that Vietnam vet, Vietnam was never a threat to America. If you can't get your head around that and you want me to offer you the we want it, so bug off bitch defense, then I guess you can just get down with genocide, you Hitler racist son of a bitch. You can see how this idea might be correct from a certain point of view. That the killing of innocent brown men is what started this country and kept it going. And they might be right. I mean, I'm pretty sure white people killed a lot of innocent colored people, or kept them in chains, and that was pretty much how we got this country, and how we got this country. After we got this country, we spent something like $750 million on developing super close 5 razor blade system shavers that get closer than any single razor blade ever got in the 17th century, without much of the risk that one associates with single blade shaves, that one thinks about when one thinks about an early American barber and their barbaric practices like hot towel shaves. But maybe I digress, because maybe after all, white people are not defending genocide, but simply defending the technological advances of 5-blade systems over the pathetic, technologically inferior shaves of our ancestors. And if this is all they are trying to do, then I am taken aback with my stupidity. But on the other hand, if what they are defending is the brutal system of exploration and destruction that controls the world as we know it, then I think I'm on firm ground with the wiki of basic causes of the Vietnam War, which goes something like, we don't like democracy if the votes go against us and in favor of economic systems that, in theory, try to benefit the masses over the ruling classes. Instead, we break down the salt of the earth in our hometowns and convince them that killing strangers with different colored skins is a good idea for democracy. I think I need to find a fucking statue. Well, everybody, it's about 25 minutes into the podcast, and originally I recorded about 40 or so minutes. Unfortunately, the free podcast service that I use allows only a 30 megabyte upload, and so I think we're really close to that as it is. So I'm going to shut it off, cut this in half, and upload it as we have here, and then add the second part, hopefully, as well. I'm also very close to reaching my 100 megabyte for the month maximum upload. So we have hit some limits that the free podcast gives to us. The only way we can get around that is if you spread this podcast to every one of your friends and it becomes super popular, so popular that people start giving me money, and then I can afford to pay for the more advanced podcast service that they offer. Since that's not going to happen, you're just going to have to deal with the fact that there will only be 100 megabytes per month, which is like 4 shows probably a month. So we probably won't be able to post anything until after I post May Part 1 and May Part 2 until at least July. So it's Romeo's T signing off.